What's in the driver's seat today?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's The Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to explore home improvement, the subcontinent economy, and Walmart trying to spark a little gain in gadgetry. But first, where's Wall Street? Wall Street's up. The Dow up about 1.3%, 110 points right now. NASDAQ up 1.2%. S&P about the same, about 1.3% for the S&P 500 shares. European markets up right now 1% or more. In Asia, the Nikkei lost some value, but the Indian Stock Exchange in Asia added 17%. Let's check in right now with Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research in New York. Morning, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
Thanks for being with us today. So India's benchmark, Sam, shot up that 17%, as I mentioned, 2,100 points. Investors happy with political results and economic reforms there. Why should we care about India's economy?
Well, I think we care for two reasons. First off, if we do invest in the emerging markets, they are part of what's called BRIC, Brazil, Russia, India, China. So that would certainly show up in your performance of your emerging market indices. But probably more important is the fact that the Indian economy is an important one in terms of economic growth. We see about 4.3% growth this year, 5.7% growth next year, which gets us back to the close to 8% that we saw only 2 years ago.
All right, closer to home, Sam. We got Lowe's earnings this morning before the bell, stronger than expected first quarter. Profits down more than 20% over last year, but investors were gobbling up Lowe's stocks before the markets opened, doing so now. Does home improvement equate to economic improvement?
Well, actually, it does not. Home improvement really means that the people on Wall Street are a little worried about their job, and so they become do-it-yourselfers, whether it's fixing your car or bringing it to an auto fixer-upper rather than your high-priced dealer. The same goes for home improvement. If you can't afford to hire a contractor to do it, you do it yourself, and you tend to go to a place like Home Depot or Lowe's in order to get the equipment.
And we'll see how that works out today. Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research. Thanks, Sam.
Welcome, Steve.
I appreciate it. There's another retailer making some waves, and it probably won't surprise you that it's Walmart. The company seems to be outperforming almost everyone these days. And now it's looking for an electronics in starting today. Here's Marketplace's Janet Babin from North Carolina Public Radio.
Walmart began to expand its electronics department a few years ago with upscale flat-screen TVs from Sony and Samsung. The Wall Street Journal reports the retailer is going one step further with new electronics displays that feature popular brands like Nintendo and Apple. Stores will also allow customers to try out PCs and notebooks that Walmart used to keep under lock and key. Walter Todd's a portfolio manager at Greenwood Capital. He says the electronics market is wide open now that Circuit City's folded.
Certainly Best Buy will get their fair share of that, but I think Walmart correctly anticipates that they can also pick up some business from the closure of that store. So I think it's a good strategy.
The new gadgets will likely appeal to customers who are trading down to Walmart since the recession. Todd says it's become hip to shop wherever you can save money. Walmart's move is already sparking price wars on some products. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
You know, we talked about Lowe's announcing it earned a higher-than-expected profit last quarter, and they raised their forecast for the year. As Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, for a home improvement store, recession ain't all bad.
It's spring. Birds, children at play, hammers, hammering. Okay, that last one is annoying, but to home improvement stores, it's a symphony. While the construction industry collapsed, the do-it-yourself movement picked up. Investment advisor Paul Nolte is with Hinsdale Associates.
With the fall-off in the housing markets, we've seen a lot more people spend the time now in their house to fix it up, make paint jobs, etc.
Ann Nolte says Lowe's and Home Depot winnowed their stock down to what customers were really buying. Investor Sheldon Lieber says the chains also have few competitors.
And so when the economy does turn around, these companies are going to see a rebound in sales and profits long before anybody is able to compete with them.
That may be a symphony in itself. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
It's been 90 days and counting since the Obama administration unveiled a plan to help people avoid foreclosure. It's called Making Home Affordable. The nation's largest banks and loan servicers are participating, even though it's only voluntary. But is it working? Tamara Keith reports.
Subprime loans touched off the foreclosure crisis. Now Housing and Urban Development Secretary Sean Donovan says the recession is driving it.
Job loss is the primary driver today of new foreclosures, and this program can definitely help.
So far, banks and servicers have offered loan modifications to 55,000 homeowners, a far cry from the millions the program promises to help. Some consumer advocates say it's still a step forward, but others say servicers are hard to reach and not up to speed on the program. Bruce Marks is with the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America. He says some companies aren't serious about helping.
While they're working through the bugs and the solutions and overcoming the roadblocks, hundreds of thousands of homeowners are being foreclosed on.
Mark says the program has barely made a dent. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report on Monday, May 18th, 2009 at Marketplace.org. Britain's Cash for Clunkers plan kicked off today. British drivers can now get some financial help for trading in an older vehicle, a plan similar to one the U.S. Congress is debating. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, reports.
Under the British program, drivers will get a discount of $3,000 on a new car if they trade in a 10-year-old clunker. The cost of the discount will be shared equally between the UK government and the car dealers. That means the dealers are unlikely to offer any extra discounts on top. But Britain's car industry needs any help it can get. New car sales in the UK have slumped by almost 30% so far this year. Edmund King is head of the Automobile Association. He thinks the incentive will work.
Already we're seeing it is boosting interest in car sales. Many dealers in the UK have told me that for the first time their phones are ringing, people are coming in, people are registering interest.
In the US, Congress is considering a cash for clunker benefit worth up to $4,500, with the government footing the entire $4 billion cost of the program. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
As we said before, India's stock market charged out of the gate today, up 17%. That's after a surprise landslide parliamentary victory over the weekend. The winner is the party in favor of free market reforms in India. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Indian stocks jumped 10.7% this morning. That triggered a circuit breaker, a two-hour timeout for traders to calm down. They didn't. The market surged up again until regulators called it an early day, up 17.2%. Rajiv Malik at Macquarie Securities says investors realize the weekend vote gives the pro-business party a dominant majority.
It gives a much stronger mandate to a reform-oriented party in government to actually put in place the things that would move from being merely good to a great economic story.
India is the world's largest democracy, but it's often blasted as the slowest as far as economic reforms. Take foreign investment. India has long-standing barriers that Malik thinks will finally start coming down, and more American banks and insurance companies can go in with their money.
Along with capital, you get knowledge. There's a better way of doing things.
India's currency gained today, too. The rupee hit a four-month high against the dollar. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Neither director Woody Allen nor clothing manufacturer American Apparel are strangers to controversy. They're both appearing in a New York courtroom today regarding a dispute over the use of Allen's image. That's created headlines both in and out of court. Sally Herships wondered if this kind of attention is bad for business or if American Apparel will end up making some money.
American Apparel CEO Dove Charney is used to causing a stir with his provocative billboards. In 2007, he used a picture of Woody Allen eating dinner in full Hasidic garb. Randy Friedberg is an intellectual property and entertainment lawyer. He doesn't represent American Apparel, but he says the company used the First Amendment as a defense.
Because we're doing it as satire and to make a statement, and it's almost artistic, it's not commercial speech, and therefore it's okay, and we don't owe you money.
The company took the billboards down, but Allen still sued. Friedberg says American Apparel went out of its way to start this fight.
100%. No question. This is marketing for American Apparel. Like this right now, this conversation, they're getting a lot of publicity for not a lot of money.
Allen demanded $10 million, but American Apparel said Thanks to a number of sex scandals, Allen's image isn't worth that much. That drew media attention to the clothing company's own risque record. Jonah Berger is a marketing professor at Wharton. I asked him how this could be good for business.
The way that consumers react to advertising is very different than the way that consumers react to regular news.
Berger says most consumers see an ad and know someone's trying to sell them something. But when they read news, their defenses aren't up. So a negative piece can be effective, as long as the company is small. Big, well-known firms risk having their reputations tarnished, but small companies' brand awareness can get a lift. Berger says consumers won't remember the details of this lawsuit, but they will remember American Apparel.
Next time some of those people are walking by an American Apparel store, whereas before they might never have thought about stopping in, now they might say, oh yeah, maybe I should go check them out.
American Apparel and Woody Allen may find some common ground in their dispute today, but lawyer Randy Friedberg says American Apparel doesn't want the case to end.
They've already milked it. They've milked it for a long time.
But they want to keep milking it.
But they want to keep milking it as long as they can.
Friedberg says even if American Apparel ends up paying $10 million, it's still cheap advertising. So the company wins either way. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Today in New York, the annual ritual known as the upfront begins. That's when TV networks unveil their fall schedules to advertisers, who then buy time in advance on shows they think will be hits. Here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
Somber is the word most analysts are using to describe this year's upfront season. With a recession cutting into marketing budgets, the competition for advertising dollars is fierce, and many networks are hoping to pull business away from NBC. That's because its decision to put Jay Leno on weeknights at 10 p.m. could drive away younger viewers and the advertisers who want to reach them. Porter Bibb is with MediaTek Capital Partners.
We live now in a universe of YouTube and Twitter and all of the available variety acts that are out there in the blogosphere and the cosmos. It's going to be very, very tough for Jay Leno to hold a primetime audience.
But NBC's loss may be mostly cable's gain. A report out last week predicted Leno could lose 500,000 viewers, and many of them could end up watching dramas on cable, not the big networks. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Been hearing a lot about Social Security lately, more talk that the money just isn't there like it used to be, that younger people working today could likely face benefit cuts or even a bankrupt system altogether. The numbers show what kind of problem it is. Estimates had the fund producing about $87 billion this year, but in the grips of this recession, the projection is more like $19 billion. Some say maybe it's time for a little help.
And now it's time for the Sloan Session.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joins us to talk about what the federal government will need to do to avoid a retirement disaster. Alan, sounds like quite the fiscal dilemma.
Right. Social Security, for years, for decades, has been the cash cow of the federal budget. But the cow is running really short of milk, which you could see last week if you knew how to read the numbers.
And the numbers are?
You're talking about over a period of I don't know how many years, running a total cash deficit of well over $6 trillion. So I think Social Security, sooner or later, is probably going to either have to cut the benefits enormously or raise taxes enormously or, heaven help us, get a bailout if there's any money left or if they're bailing out everybody else.
So what happens, Alan, then, if the U.S. government doesn't find a way to fix this? Could there be some sort of revolt of future retirees? How mad can they get?
Well, they can get very mad. Now, people who are upper income like me, and I hope my children, and presumably you, despite being a public radio person, they can sort of save for their own retirement and supplement Social Security, and in many cases aren't really counting on it. But you've got a lot of the average person still in this country doesn't really save anything. And they're going to need something somewhere down the road. And if there isn't Social Security, I won't be here to know, but it's going to be really ugly.
But you'll be thinking about it regardless.
Right. I will be looking down from heaven and hoping, wishing you all well, but asking you not to send me the bill because I'll have no way to pay it, you know, among the heavenly hosts.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us this morning. Alan, thank you.
You're welcome, Steve.
I'm talking about retirement. With that hit your 401k has taken, you may feel like you'll be working forever. That may actually be a good thing. Researchers at King's College in London have found that men who work later in life are able to ward off dementia. Doctors have long advised that keeping your brain active is one way to prevent the onset of conditions such as Alzheimer's disease, and the new study shows that clocking in may be an effective way to keep the mind stimulated. We're glad you've been with us today in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us, and have a great Monday.
American Public Media.